Cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done in you.
Yeah.
Herein is my Father glorified,
thank you, Jesus,
that you bear much fruit. And so shall you be my disciples.
Hallelujah.
And I want to share a word with you today. And just the title of it is just something you probably heard before. All or nothing. All or nothing. You may be seated. No matter how hard I try, I will never be able to do enough to deserve heaven. I will never be able to do enough to please God. I will never be able. If I give everything and all that I have, it will never be enough. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 9 and 10, you find a dissertation by Paul there about the sacrificial systems of the Jews. He said they offered sacrifices every day. Millions of sacrifices, and they had festivals, and they had weekly sacrifices, and yearly vacation, holiday sacrifices, and they sacrificed, and they sacrificed, and they sacrificed, animal after animal after animal, and it was never enough to satisfy the righteousness and the perfection of God. It was never enough to wash away and cleanse and purify the sins of the people of God. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and you are the branches. And without me, you cannot do anything. Our all will never be enough.
Amen.
Our righteousness and all of the works that we might do are as but filthy rags.
Right.
And when they are compared to the holiness and the perfect, wonderful, matchless glory of God. Do you ever feel like, no matter how hard you try, that it's never enough? Do you ever feel like that no matter how hard you try, you'll never be good enough to please God? You're not alone in that feeling, because none of us in this building, if we took all of our goodness all together and we distilled it into a pill form like a vitamin C and we gave it to one person, it would still not be enough. It would still not be enough. They would be able to do nothing. I was reading an article, editorial philosophical piece about creation of the world and how that back in the 60s that they began to say that God is dead and we don't need God, and God, we have science and science will help us to discover. And there was a particular man, I can't think of his name off the top of my head, and he began to extrapolate numbers and began to hypothesize and begin to postulate that there are probably, he was able to come up with certain parameters that had to be met in order for there to be a livable planet in existence. And with the limited information that he had, the couple of parameters that he had set, he found that there would be an uncountable number of livable planets throughout the galaxies. But as the years went by, as science developed and increased from the 60s into the 70s and into the 80s and into the 90s, you know, they've been searching for 40 years for extraterrestrial life. When you go to the science section in the newspaper, you see the same thing. Signs of a droplet of hydrogen and oxygen might mean life on one of a to-be planet, XOCYD. But as this man began to, as science began to develop over the decades, and this man began to do more and more research, he found out that the few parameters that he had set in order for there to be a planet that could sustain life were insufficient. He began to discover more parameters that needed to be met in order for a planet to sustain life. And the original expansive number was something, you know, like dozens of zeros behind it, that there might be that many livable planets out there, started to shrink. And the more he researched what it would take and what it takes for the Earth, the planet that we live on, to exist and to sustain life, he began to find more and more parameters that would need to be met. And the list of parameters went from one or two things to hundreds to thousands of things that would have to be met in order for a planet to sustain life. And the number of planets that our universe would be able to produce that could sustain life went from an innumerable amount to a smaller and 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 smaller amount until it reached a place where the more they discovered that it would take for a planet to exist and sustain life, that the numbers actually became in the negative. That the parameters that are required for a planet to sustain life, that they've actually found now that the number of planets that will exist in our universe, in all of the galaxies in creation that can sustain life, is not this great number, but it's a great negative number.
Right.
And they have found that for Earth to exist and sustain life is a statistical impossibility. And so the article in the Wall Street Journal said that science has proved itself wrong. The more we grow, and the more science and intellect grows, and the more they discover, the more they discover how much they don't know. The more they discover how much is really out there. The more they discover how complex things really are. And our ability to discover those things just gets further. The more we discover, the further away our grasp is on reality of how they came to exist. And I was thinking of that in light of this morning. It's simply saying this, that the more we begin to live for Christ, and the more we begin to follow Him, and the more we become like Him, it just becomes a greater and greater statistic of impossibility. That anything that I say, or anything that I do, or anything that work that I deem that I perform, could ever measure up to the purity and the holiness of God. Anything that I ever do, then you can say these are the parameters that you have to meet in order for you to stand in the presence of a holy God and not be consumed eternally. And if I meet those parameters, then it's likely that I might be worthy to stand in the presence of God. But as you live for God, and the more you walk for Him, and the more you study the Word, and the more you understand about God and His creation, and who we are, and how messed up we are, you realize that those two things won't be enough to stand in the presence of God. I have to do this, and I have to do this, and I have to do this. And it gets to the place where we begin to understand that it's a statistical impossibility, that no matter what we do or say on this earth, we will never be righteous enough or worthy enough to stand in the presence of an almighty and living God. Everything that we have will never be enough to stand before Him.
That's right, amen.
Because without Him, we can do nothing but make a bigger and a bigger mess of our lives and the lives of the people that we are with and the lives of the people in this world that we touch. Because without Jesus, we are nothing. We have no fruit. We have no life. We are just shriveled and withered up like an old stick to be thrown on somebody's wiener roaster or pushed into somebody's stove or put in somebody's fireplace. Because we are never going to be enough to satisfy the requirements of His holiness. But in Hebrews chapter 9 and 10, it goes on and it says this, that the priest made sacrifices, and he made sacrifices for his own sins, and he made sacrifices for the sins of all the people, but it was never enough. But this man, Jesus, with His precious blood, He didn't go into the temple made with hands, but He ascended into the temples of heaven's throne, and He shed and spread and sprinkled His blood on the throne of heaven. And what Jesus gave, His all, was more than enough to not only satisfy the requirements of God, but to satisfy the requirements of God for all humanity, time without end. Our all will never be enough, but His all was more and above and beyond enough to satisfy. The Bible says He offered Himself once and for all. And then he sat down at the right hand of the glory and the majesty of God in heaven. And it says that in chapter 10, verse 14, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. I like what he said to Abraham in the Old Testament. He said, Abraham, I am your exceeding and great reward. I can do nothing of myself. But as Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 12 and 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And if you'll grant me the liberty today, all of our adult Bible class students, to tie into the lesson that we taught today, if all of the saints would allow me to tie into the sermon that I preached last week, we are called and we must. We, no matter what we do, we cannot satisfy. But it's okay, because Jesus has satisfied everything through his sacrifice on Calvary.
All right. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
So then what are we called to do? We are called, it says in Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2, that we should, and Paul said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, that you might prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. When we are in Him, and when His sacrifice has covered us, and when His blood has blotted out the handwriting of sins against us, when we have been saved and sanctified in Jesus, then we are called to give everything that we have.
That's right. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah.
To Him.
That's right.
And I'm trying to make sense today. Am I making any sense?
Amen.
There's a parable that Jesus told, that He's talking about the sower and the seed. And maybe this will help to flesh it out for us today. It says in Matthew chapter 13 that Jesus went out by the seaside and great multitudes were gathered. He said, behold, a sower went forth to sow. When he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other, everybody say other. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit. Everybody say fruit. Some 100-fold and some 60-fold and some 30-fold. And Jesus said, he who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said to him, why speakest thou unto the people in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Oh, I'm glad to know today that in Jesus all of the mysteries are revealed. In Jesus all the questions are answered.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
And then he goes on and he says, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, and neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their eyes are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. What is he trying to say? What are we trying to say today? We are talking about the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, the kingdom, the eternal kingdom of the living God. We cannot go at it half-heartedly. We cannot go at it haphazardly. And we cannot go at it with our own righteousness or strength. We have to find ourselves in Jesus. We have to find ourselves in Him. In Him. In His righteousness. And in His glory. And in His blood. And in His acceptance. And when we do, something will be tapped into, because in Christ we are grafted in to that vine that is Jesus, and there is a life that flows. You see, there are many seeds that are sown, there are many sermons that are preached, there are many people that have heard about Jesus, but many of them have not been willing to give their all or nothing. Many of them have not been willing to turn their hearts to the Lord wholeheartedly. The prophet said in the Old Testament that you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all of your hearts. Yeah. Jesus said, if you'll remain in me and my words will remain in you, you will become extremely, exponentially fruitful. And any prayers that you pray will be answered by God. Yes. Our all will never be enough.
Right. Amen.
But His all was more than enough.
Thank you, Jesus.
And so we must give our all to show His all to the world. Hallelujah. I don't preach because I'm a good preacher. I don't preach because you voted me in. I don't preach because I went to college to do that. I preach because I am connected to the vine. And there is a life that flows out of me. Jesus said, these people here, they call me a devil. They call me a demon. They say that my father is the devil. They don't know who I am. And they argue with me and they want to kill me. And they want to discredit me in every step. And so Jesus said, from now on, I'm not going to talk plain to anybody, but I'm going to tell one story after another. And Jesus said, this is what's going to happen. There's going to be some in the crowd that are too busy doing their own thing, and the word is going to be sown inside of them, and the life is going to go in them, but they're not going to have any fruit in them, and they're going to get cut off of the vine. Jesus said, I'm going to preach in stories, and I'm going to sow seeds, and I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Some people, it's just going to fall on the hardness of their heart, and the devil's going to come and steal it away, and other people are going to be seeds going to be sown on rocky soil, and when trials and tribulations come, they're going to throw in the towel and say, this is too much work, this is too hard. But Jesus said, there's going to be some seed that I sow that's going to fall on good soil. And He said, it's going to bring forth fruit and unto righteousness. Church, your all will never be enough to satisfy the righteous requirements of God. But His all is more than enough. And because He gave His all, we must give our all to show His all. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, you are living epistles.
Yes, hallelujah.
Jesus said, stay in the vine.
Right.
Jesus said the seed sown was going to have a reaction. Why? Because the seed has life in it.
Yeah.
Because the soil has nutrients in it. And when God sows His word into our hearts, a connection is going to be made. Something is going to happen. A catalytic event is going to take place. And one or two things is going to happen. You're either going to accept it and receive it and grow and become fruitful, or you're going to reject it and lose everything that you have. And He said that for to whomsoever to him shall be given, he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, for him from him shall be taken away even that he has. The Bible says, talk about the Pharisees, that they went about to promote their own righteousness, to establish their own righteousness. God is calling us. He says, I gave my son as a sacrifice on Calvary. Through him you have forgiveness and remission of sins.
Right.
And the gift, the promised gift of the Holy Spirit of God. And this is what I want from you. I want you to get grafted into me. This is what I want from you. I want you to let the seed grow inside of you. And if you refuse to let the seed grow in your life, this is what Jesus said is going to happen. Not only are you going to miss out on the blessings that God has for you, but whatever piddly little talents and gifts that you may have in this world will also be taken from your life because you refuse to let God work in you. How many of you know somebody like that? What happened? They didn't understand or comprehend that Jesus gave his all and that we should give our all to him so that he can take it and multiply it and make us fruitful. These people had a little bit. They have the Ten Commandments. They have the Torah. They have the Pentateuch. They have their little lifestyle, the little rituals that they do. But it will never be enough. And because they have refused me, even what they have is going to be taken away from them. But if we receive what the Lord has done, if we receive what he is doing in our lives, if we give our all to God, what did Jesus say? If you find your life, you will lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you will find it. You are never going to be fruitful. Never find that life that the Bible talks about until you give all that you are, until you lose what you have in what Jesus is trying to give. And the Bible says that you will bring forth fruit. You'll not only be a productive branch, you'll not only be a healthy branch with healthy leaves and passionate fruit and sumptuous fruit hanging on you, but you will also be blessed in what you had when you came. That God will take what you already are, even though it's never enough. That God will take what you will already have, even though it's nothing in comparison to what he gave. And he will bless what you have, and he will also give you what he has. And he will fill your life up with his glory and his goodness. And you just have to be willing to have a mindset.
Hallelujah.
It says, I'm going to give him all, or I'm not going to give him anything. Let's stand together today.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
The Bible that talks about in the book of Revelation about the church at Laodicea, it talks about lukewarm Christians. And he says to the Laodiceans, he says, you're here and you're grafted into the vine, but I don't see any fruits. You're here and you know who I am and you have my name and you have my gift, but I don't see any fruit. Are you sure you're a part of me? You know how you know you're a part of the Lord? Because your life is constantly growing and changing and evolving and getting more and more and more like him every day. And fruits are being produced in our lives in abundance.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
You know how you know you're not in the Lord? When your spirit is withering in. And there's no fruit on your branches. And even the things that you once enjoyed are no longer pleasant to you. God is asking for very little from us. When I say little, can you see that? How big that is, Brother Cameron? That's how much God is asking from you. You know what he's asking from you? He's asking from you everything that you have. You know how much that is, Brother Patrick? It's nothing. The prophet even says that the nations are nothing but a drop in the bucket. That they are counted but dust on the balances. They don't even figure into the equation. What is God asking of us today? Very good. He's asking us to give our bodies as a living sacrifice. One day, if the Lord tarries, we're all going to be worm food. Or mole food or gopher food or something. One day you're going to have little grub worms crawling out your nose and your eye socket. That's all God's asking you for. It's very little. How can we give him anything less than nothing? Without me, not only can you do nothing, but you are nothing. But through me, you have everything. Through me, what you are becomes so much more. Through me, you become what you were intended to be in God's great plan for his kingdom and for this whole world. We need to grow in Jesus this coming year, church.
Yeah, hallelujah.
You see where I'm going with all of these sermons and Bible studies today? We need to grow in Jesus in 2015.
Hallelujah.
We need to realize that God is not asking us for anything, because all that we have amounts to nothing. In light of the glory and the perfection of God, in light of all that he has done, even the scientists have come to understand that it's impossible for the earth to exist, let alone for there to be life on it. How much more should we as believers understand that it is impossible? The very breath that we breathe was given to us by God. The very food that we eat and the very ability to think, it's because God made us in his image. God is asking us for nothing. So how hard should it be for us to give everything that we are to him? If we withhold it, the Bible says we'll lose even the little bit that we have. But if we will freely give ourselves to God, he will increase it and multiply it. Except according we fall into the ground and die, it's all by itself. The strong said in one of our home groups last year or some other time, he said, you can count the seeds in an apple, but you can't count the apples in a seed. All God is asking us is to give ourselves as a living sacrifice. And let him grow us up and multiply us and increase the fruit in our lives. Let's bow our heads together right now. Now there's enough presence of